Our speaker today is Pam from Chico, and she'll be sharing her experience, strength, and hope for 15 minutes on steps one and two. Take it away, Pam.
Oh, hey, everybody. My name is Pam, and I have recovered here in Chico, California, as a result of the Big Book of Awakening. My sobriety date is 10/4/10. That's my first sobriety date when I entered the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous in that, you know, pitiful demoralization, the very bottom end of drinking for some 30 years of my life, the progression of alcoholism in my teens, progressing into my 20s, into my 30s, into my 40s. You know, and then by the time I was 50, I'm drinking daily and I'm praying every day and asking God not to drink. That morning I woke up, my clock radio came on and said, try AA, it works. That was my introduction into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I worked the program to the best of my ability for 4.5 years on Pam's power, the little P, the little Pam, the little me power. I could do the steps with a sponsor my way. I could not have a power greater than myself. I could still utilize the power that had worked for me for all of those years, which was me. I was the director of the show and I didn't even realize it. At 4.5 years, I had a relapse. It was a day-long relapse and it was on a pill. It wasn't on alcohol, and pills are really not part of my story. But it's the idea that I could not handle how I was feeling internally. I needed a substance to change the way I felt. I took a pill, went to bed, reset my sobriety date, which is now 3/23/14. So I just now celebrated 10 years of sobriety. So I got a new sponsor, picked up the Big Book, really, really delved into the program as it's offered here in our local area. A lot of things I heard was like, don't drink the Kool-Aid. You know, it's kind of like nobody was willing to really embrace the word God or have a higher power. A lot of people would talk about their sunglasses or their doorknob or their vase or the meetings. But even with that, I had a modem of, you know, I was remaining sober. I had a sober life and I did the steps to the best of my ability, the way they were presented to me at that time. And then in 2019, the nation shut down, the rooms closed, and we were left here in Chico with, what do we do? Well, I had a computer suave friend who started searching the internet, and she found a Fellowship of the Spirit Zoom weekend, whole weekend conference out of New York. And so I utilized this little office chair as if I was sitting in a convention center, and I utilized my coffee pot as if I was going out to the, you know, general concession stand and coming back in. I parked myself for 3 full days here at my desk and listened to the most powerful speakers and the most powerful message of recovery I had ever, ever heard in my life, ever. And then my friend said, let's see if they'll do a workshop. Let's see if they'll do a workshop for us here in Chico. So she contacted them in San Diego. And there's a couple of people in San Diego said, sure, yeah, we'll have a Zoom conference for you guys. Log on this date. So we got about, I think it was about 8 or 9 women together to come on to this Zoom thing. And little did we know that the entire nation was being invited. The entire world was being invited. So when we first came on to that meeting, that Big Book Awakening workshop, there was like 900 1,000 people that were registered on this. And that began our first journey here in Chico, California, of studying the Big Book in a way that had more depth and weight than I had ever, ever imagined. I was lucky to have somebody in San Diego that did my first step five with me. So gave me quite a bit of grounding on that. And then at the step 12, we're told to share our experience, strength, and go on to spread this on. So my friend and I had a workshop here in Chico. Then I went to another workshop on Zoom. And then I did another workshop on Zoom. And I was being step study leader. And I had groups of women that I was doing that for. So here we are, several years later, several times of working these steps. But I still find myself bedeviled. I still have some 52 bedevilments, which I'm thinking after all these times of working the steps as outlined to the best of my ability, shouldn't these be a little more gone than they are? Perhaps, perhaps not. But let's take a look at it. Was I still having trouble with personal relationships? I certainly was. I certainly was all caught up in my head about things. My emotional nature depended on what people were doing around me, not on any steadfast reliance upon my higher power, even though I knew, I had the knowledge that that needed to happen. I still was being a prey to misery and depression. Even though I was taking a lot of women through the work, I didn't feel like I was being useful enough, that I wasn't really imparting the message with the clarity that it needed, that I had seen other people so clearly do. So what was my course at that time was to, okay, there's still something inherently wrong. Let's take a look at some of the things about being a controller, fixer, chaos creator. And they have this wonderful, you guys have seen it probably a gazillion times, but it is some examples of how we create chaos in our life. And they ask you to kind of run through them and see, does this fit for me? And the being chronically late or regular late. What I did was I would fill my life up with one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. And there was a lot of things on here, the obsessing, the projecting. And I realized indeed that as I was addicted to alcohol, ending in OL, I was definitely addicted to control, ending in OL. Control, and I was up in my head constantly trying to figure it out, trying to reason it through. It talks in step two a lot about how our reasoning mind is there, and I'm trying to reason it out. Well, in my reasoning, I'm shut off from God, I'm shut off from other people because I'm stuck in my head. And when I'm stuck in my head, as these things start to mount, I get myself filled with this chemical called adrenaline. And this adrenaline is fear-based. It's either fight or flight. And this is going to impact my relationships with other people. If every time I have a problem with somebody and I'm running away, I'm not resolving any chaos, and I'm creating chaos in them, and I'm creating more chaos in me and more chaos in my relationships. The same if I decide to pick up fight with them, make my way, push my way to making them see and think the way I think. It again creates this schism between myself and the other person and myself and God, who's looking down on me and saying, hey, you're not relying on me. You're still relying on little P, little Pam's power to resolve this situation. Oh, there's another part in the big book, and I think it is into the family afterward, and it talks about living with an alcoholic will make a neurotic out of any of us. And I looked up the word neurotic. The word neurotic means an abnormally being abnormally sensitive, obsessive and anxious, high strung and jumpy. Interestingly enough, to me, in my mind, the way it works, the way it reasons, neurotic and alcoholic were so easily replaced. So everywhere in the big book that it said alcoholic, I would put neurotic, and I would think about, hey, you know, I'm abnormally sensitive to everything going on around me. And I react to people either with fear of fight them or fear of flight from them. It makes me obsessive in my mind about how I can control and fix them. And it makes me anxious. And then I'm high strung. And I wonder why in the world, when my husband walks into the kitchen and it's unexpected, I startle. I mean, my startle reaction is just high, high alert. Then I looked up the word neuroticism, which is a quick arousal when stimulated. I don't have any pause. I don't have any pause when people come and they make a comment or they do an action that brings me some upsetness. I quickly arouse into that adrenaline of control and fix, and I'm stimulated. And then I don't let it go. I stay up in my head about it. The adrenaline goes and then the cortisol grows, and then I'm depressed, and then I'm self-pity. And I see how all of this stuff is just webbed deeper and deeper into my being than just the problem of alcohol. The alcohol was the solution. The control, or the trying to control, is my solution. The book at this point, and the work that I have done thus far in the controlling, fixing, chaos, creating, has to admit that I am powerless over my desire to control other people, situations, places, events, and that my life had become unmanageable. But I am. I'm definitely full of adrenaline, and I'm not letting it go all the time. And this unmanageability affects the people in my life, my relationships with people. And now in this step two part of it, it is coming to believe in that power greater than myself, which will restore me to sanity. This too, in my years of recovery, has morphed, grown deeper, changed. But the bottom line that they talk about is that finding that power deep down within ourselves. And that's where if I can let a situation happen, I can bow my head and get into my heart and not overreact, stay down here. Because all the time before, I am always up and out trying to fix. Down and in is where I go to search for my God. I find that power within myself not to overreact, not to be overstimulated. And thereby, I'm not neurotic. I'm not practicing neuroticism. And I have a serenity in my life that I've never had before. I can only imagine that as time goes on and I continue to work these steps as outlined and to continue to give them some really thorough, thorough consideration, each time it gets deeper and better. And one of the handouts that I got from BBA was this foundation with the archway over it. And I happened to notice here recently that that foundation has no bottom on it. And so I'm always able to go back to steps 1, 2, and 3 and even dig deeper into those areas of my growth in my spirituality, clearing up my wreckage of my destructive self between other people and between God. And that is the power greater than myself within me. Okay, you guys, that's what I have to say. Thanks, I'm Pam, and I'm blessed to be here.
Thank you so much, Pam.